back, everybody. It's another edition of the Brew University Virtual Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Weaver. Glad to be back with you. And I am here live in Treasure Coast offices as I am sitting down with our president and general manager for our Florida beer business, Pete Marr. Pete, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here once again.
It's an exciting day. We're getting ready to kick off the all-employee meetings.
Yes, we are. The three-day annual roadshow is about to begin. I'm excited to see all our wonderful and amazing employees.
Did you pack your toothbrush? Are you all ready to go?
I don't know. I packed something. I hope I packed everything.
That perpetual bag that sits next to your front door that you just take everywhere you go.
I just grab and go, and then I figure it out along the way.
Well, it's going to be an exciting few days. Of course, our listeners won't hear this until after they've already had a chance to experience it. Also, by now, everybody's had a great time, enjoyed themselves, food, fun, and frivolity, and all that good stuff. But we wanted to do a little recap and talk about, well, for us, it's a preview, and for our listeners, it'll be a recap of some of the highlights of what we're talking about as we head into the 2024 year, because 2023 was a big one. I'm amazed that it's already in the books.
Yeah, no question. I mean, 2020, when I did our meetings in 2023, you know, I called 2022 an unprecedented year, and we always say, you know, unprecedented year means there'll never be another year like that. And then, oh, here comes 2023. And now we have another precedented year. The change in what we call unprecedented year in 2022 was all about inflation and costs and supply and demand. And this year was a complete shift in just our actual beer business.
Yeah. So let's walk it back and talk through, because I think that sort of sets the tone. 2023, Budweiser kicks off the year by having their little snafu that really shifted the landscape for us. We've been calling it pennies from heaven, right? It just, the market shifted for the first time in generations. I mean, you don't get a lot of shifts like this in the beer market. This is kind of a once in a lifetime change in the way the market has aligned. I think the big question on everybody's mind coming into this year is, has that shift been permanent? Have we seen the volume stay with us? Do we expect to continue a leveling off, or have we plateaued? Are we still seeing some up? Do we expect some recoil to them coming off of this year and looking ahead? What's your expectation for where the brand shift between Budweiser and Molson Coors and other brands is going to remain?
And, you know, that's a fair question. April 1st, and everyone thought it was an April Fool's joke, and it wasn't. It was a legitimate, campaign on their part that backfired. Our goal is to capture every penny from heaven that came to us. The great news is we have an amazing team that was prepared to capture all these pennies, from delivery to sales to, our sales assistants and every single person in the company. So that's the phenomenal part is it came to us and we were prepared to execute. Now we're going to cycle that in May. May 1st is when we really felt it come. And I do believe it's here to stay. So in May, June, and July, we will have a little bump in the road. Some people call it an iceberg coming. I don't call it an iceberg coming. It's a bump in the road because we've been preparing for May, June, and July. But then the rest of the year of 2023, the trends never changed. We hit like a high. I'll use Coors Light as an example. We were trending up like high 20s, 30%. And then the rest of the year, we're trending up in the mid-20s, low-20s, and we're still doing that today. So I believe with a very focused approach going into summer, we'll take a little bump in the road, and then we'll hold on to everything we've gained. Those consumers that switch back to the Budweiser family of brands have already done so, and we believe the ones that haven't, and they never will.
That's huge. As you point out, the year-over-year comps are going to look a little weird on the balance sheet for the accounting kids. But at the end of the day, what that really means is our volume went up, our volume has stayed up. We've captured a whole new class of consumer, and they're ours. And I think that's a huge opportunity because that gets them loyal to our side of the innovation, our side of the new offerings that those brands are going to bring to market and to bear. So a lot of opportunity in that potentially to just continue to dial in on those new drinkers and keep them inside the portfolio.
Yeah, no question. And then we have an amazing brands. No matter how many times we do taste tests, our brands are superior to Anheuser-Busch. But that being said, habits are hard to break. So now that they've switched And I'm not sure the exact scientific number, whether it's 13, 20, 100, but there is a scientific number that, you know, once you do something so many times, you create a habit. So now they've switched to our brands. They've been there long enough. So now they're gone. You know, they've left Bud forever. They love their new brands that they have. And I don't see them going back unless there's a new, you know, monumental shift that changes direction that we hope doesn't happen to our brands.
And the result was in the market share. I mean, we picked up 370,000 plus cases of market share last year, correct? I mean, that's a big get.
That's correct. You know, the crazy thing about market share is, you know, our market is like 60 million, you know, cases. So one market share point's like 600,000. But in this particular situation, you know, we grew, you know, like 1.5 market share points, but it really wasn't gaining the 600,000. It was due to the complete loss on the Anheuser-Busch side of almost 2 million. So what happened was we gained almost 400,000. The rest of our gain was in our Beyond Beer segments. But then all the other losses on Anheuser-Busch did not come to J.J. Taylor. It actually went to wine or spirits or other categories. So the market actually shrunk on top of it, which is actually concerning.
And that was my question is, if they're down 2 million and we've picked up 400, then obviously there's 1.5 unaccounted for. And so we think most of that has gone to non-beer segments, wine, particularly probably spirits, a lot of ready to drinks. We've seen a huge number of entrants in that ready to drink alcohol category, particularly like the vodka seltzers, tequila seltzers, and stuff like that. How hard of a toll is that taking, and where do we see from our suppliers, you know, answers to innovation coming?
Yeah, correct. I mean, again, so our once in a lifetime with our premium brands responding to Anheuser-Busch's decline, but also that saved us from a hard seltzer decline. You know, we were down big time on hard seltzers, which is definitely shifting to RTDs. High Noon is the market leader, and they are definitely a winner in this fallout for sure, amongst other RTD brands, not to mention just spirits in general has been nipping at our heels for many, many years. So we're definitely partnering with our current suppliers, and we are looking at new suppliers coming in, and we're going to get into the RTD business and the spirit business in a big way.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking more about that in a minute, but I don't want to overstep the milestones that we had this year because 2023 did have some big ones. Treasure Coast, over 3 million cases. That's a first, correct?
First time ever breaking 3 million.
Congratulations to our Fort Pierce folks. That is a huge, that's a million per county that they cover now, right? Or
yeah, I mean, the Sebring counties in the middle of the state, that's you know, right. About five counties off the top of my head, though, is they're almost the biggest gain from the Bud Light fallout. The more rural our counties, the more market share we gain. So Treasure Coast and our Sebring team, you know, definitely are the winners on this share gain.
That's awesome. Fort Myers also had a record year.
Correct. You know, they bounced back from the hurricane fallout, even though they're not fully, Fort Myers Beach is not fully back, not even close. But the market is bouncing back, and they hit a record year as well.
Little over 6.5 million. Is that first time over 6 or first time over 6.5?
That's first time over 6.5. In other words, they just hit a milestone because that's just their biggest year they've ever had.
That's fantastic. And as you said, with more to come, because the more the beach comes back, the more we anticipate the tourism to return, the spring break to return, and all of that's just going to
correct. Now they're marching towards 7.
Can't get there fast enough, can they?
That's right.
And JJ overall, JJ Taylor Florida overall, 23.4 million cases.
Correct.
Last year.
That was the highest volume a company ever achieved. So it was, again, another milestone of ours and excited to hit.
Very, very big, impressive numbers. And inside of that, this one is super fun for us. 1 million cases of Twisted Tea.
Yeah, who would have thunk? It's been a 20-year success. We were talking about that when I was with the Taylor family, you know, where it was 10 years ago and where it is now, let alone 20 years ago. It's been growing about 15% to 30% for the last 20 years. And this year we hit 1 million, which is only the second in the country. We're behind Superior Beverage out of Ohio. They're about 1.4, so we're coming after them next. But very excited. Boston Beer is ecstatic, and we definitely believe in the Twisted Tea brand, and that's another hot category of flavor that's driving some significant business for us.
Sort of falls into that ready-to-drink flavor-filled category, so it happens to be well-suited for where our consumers are shifting a little bit.
Absolutely.
That's great. How much of that is mango versus... No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure it's in the deck somewhere, and you guys probably know it better than we do, but that's great. I mean, overall, 2023, really just a powerhouse year.
Absolutely. Couldn't have done without our amazing people.
They are the key to it. So looking ahead to 2024 then, where do you see the most important growth? Where are the categories you're focused on? What should we be looking at going into 2024 from a brand and supplier performance perspective?
Well, for sure, we're going to still lean into our premium business. We still have 4 months of this year to have some serious market share gains and growth until we hit that May 1st hurdle. But again, I do believe with the right execution and programming, we'll be able to keep those brands strong to the remainder of the year. We're going to lean into flavor big time. Flavor is still growing. So, and basically, whether it's Twisted Tea or Smirnoff or Mike's Hard Lemonade, you know, any type of flavor in that alternative category, we're going to get behind this year. Craft is still a little sluggish. I mean, we're going to support our craft business. Our import business is, you know, in great shape, and we're going to get behind Heineken and Guinness. We feel that those two brands, which are top brands, will be strong in growth. But we're really going to go into Beyond Beer this year. We believe our NA beers and non-alcoholic beverages and RTDs are going to go ahead and not double-digit, but triple-digit growth this year.
That's huge. Yeah, I was looking at the top supplier performance. It's one of the slides that you guys hit. And of course, at the top, we expect to see Molson Coors. We expect to see Mike's, although Mike's is starting to soften up, and that's really driven by the White Claw declines. Yingling continuing to be up there. Boston Beer moving into the fourth slot above Heineken. Is that driven by the Twisted Tea year that we had?
Absolutely. It was driven by Twisted Tea. Their beer business is not too shabby, and fortunately, their Truly business is in rough shape. But again, you know, as we lean in the flavor this year, we believe hard seltzers will stabilize a little bit, but we don't expect hard seltzers to still grow. They're just going to stabilize.
Gotcha. And then Canarchy. Let's talk Canarchy for just a second. Is it Canarchy or is it officially Monster Brewing now?
It is Canarchy, owned by Monster Brewing.
Owned by Monster Brewing. Yeah, so Monster, of course, renames this year with the Canarchy Collective now becoming known as their Monster Brewing division. They're obviously putting a huge bet into that. How's that working? I know that also sort of includes our other bet, which is moving north into the Citrus and Hernando areas. So let's talk for a minute about Monster. Let's talk about how we've moved into those areas and how that expansion of the business is working out for us.
Absolutely. Well, Canarchy, again, our big piece of the pie there is High Lie, and we're never going to forget about High Lie. A big brand for us and still very stable in the market while, you know, overall craft is sluggish. But then as we partnered with Monster launching The Beast, and it was a great first year. We almost hit 100,000 cases. And so I think it was 85 to be exact. So it was a good solid first year. Now they're going to go ahead and add a few more extensions, you know, Nasty Tea, and then they have a few more variety packs coming. So they're going to change their single serve from 16s to 24s. Take a look at their ABV. So they mean business to keep the Beast franchise growing and expand from there. So we're excited. That's what led us into Citrus and Hernando County. We have an overall strategy in our outline and territories that butt up against our core. And I'll be, you know, probably explain that a little more detail down the road. But as we started in Citrus and Hernando, they did not want to give the Beast to our Anheuser-Busch competitor. So they asked us if we would take it and buy the brands from the competitor, which we agreed to since it was part of our overall strategy. So we made the decision to purchase the Canarchy brands, or should I say Cigar City brands, from Great Bay Distributing, which was about 14,000 cases. Then they awarded us the Beast, and then we partnered with many other suppliers. And now year one, which will be probably end of March, we'll probably crack 30,000 cases. So year one, very happy with year one. And we believe year two will go north of 40. So we're on the right track in those two counties.
That's fantastic. So expect to see some bigger support coming out of the new Monster Brewing, I hope. More market, more marketing. It sounds like they
sure will.
Really getting serious about putting the money behind these brands from an advertising and promotions
they
and
sure
all that.
Will. Absolutely.
Excellent. Good to hear. What category should we be getting excited about in the Beyond Beer space? I know we've got a lot going on there.
I mean, I'm personally excited about the RTD category as well as the NA beer category. I mean, Heineken Zero, you know, leading the charge. Athletic comes on, and it's a superb product, and they're doing well. And now, of course, all our other supplier partners are bringing their Zero Zeros or NA products. So I believe the NA beer is going to have a very solid year. I'm excited about the RTDs just because I believe that is a segment that's just going to keep growing significantly in the marketplace. That is also, at least what data suggests, the entry for our new legal drinking age consumers are coming into that category. You know, it hurts me to say they're not coming into beer like I did when I was 21. But that being said, very bullish about the RTD category. We're going to, we partner with a local wine company in Largo. So we launched Keg Wine, and we're doing a great, I think we cracked 200 kegs now a month. So very exciting there. Partnered with Sazerac on Well Spirits, and we're going to be testing that model. And then above all, the biggest, I think, exciting news for J.J. Taylor is partnering with the Hershey's Salty Snack Company and launching Dots. And
they are so delicious.
Talk about a step off the reservation. You know, when I say we're going to be a total beverage company, and now I'm saying we're going to be a total beverage plus company as we launch Dots Pretzels, and maybe more brands to come as we build our relationship. And it will probably be a top 20 supplier, if not for sure, top 25 supplier just in year one.
I love it. I'm into the plus, right? I got Paramount Plus, I got Peacock Plus, I got Apple TV Plus, and now I got JJ Taylor Plus. So
outstanding.
I'm into it. All right. Let's just talk a little bit about the business at large. There's been a couple of big notes that we are covering here as the meetings are getting ready to kick off and throughout the week. EOStar to Encompass.
Yes, you start to Encompass.
Are you good? Are the nightmares over?
The nightmares are over. The night sweats are over. Our team did amazing, from the IT team to, every person in this company. Everyone thought it would be doom and gloom. This was my third route account in software. So, yes, I'm showing my age, but third route account in software. If there is a fourth, I already said I will not be around for the fourth. So hopefully it's going to be about 15 years. But does that mean we still have many, many little fires going on? Absolutely. Any change of this magnitude, it's a year. It's a full year of conversion. But that being said, we are already, light years ahead of where we were on EOStar when it goes to the future for our future business, and we're just excited about that.
How's the online portal working, and what online are we looking at when it comes to our digital consumer? Because I know that's a big part of what drove, not drove this switch, but certainly was one of the big gains,
big piece
of getting into this system versus others is, the ability to be a much more robust online ordering platform.
Right, and it is. The feedback coming from our team and customers that it is a much better site, much better to navigate. We're almost done converting. So the amount of on-premise, specifically customers that were on the platform versus now we're about there in the conversions. It takes a lot of training. And then now we believe we're going to go ahead and just accelerate that proportionally. I think we're about 40%. We'll probably go to 50% plus. So we're really excited about that because the more of our customers that can order and order properly and take the ordering off of our team, then more time our team can sell and not take orders. That's the purpose of it.
No, that's great. So one of the big topics for the last couple of years has been expansion, warehousing, and all of that. The last few times I've been out, I have not seen anything breaking ground anywhere yet. If it's an equipment problem, Pete, I know some guys that could definitely get us some if that would help. But I get the sense that maybe the expansion stuff has shifted direction. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
It sure has. I mean, again, we've had some accelerated growth through COVID, growing 3 million cases in 3 years. They're like, oh my gosh, we're going to run out of warehouse space. So again, quickly, let's put together an expansion project, and we have to expand Tampa. And then as we were working on that project, because again, you know, if just going through that process and the red tape could be 2 years. So while we started doing that, we partnered with a PDC consultant, a great friends of ours, and then we did a complete deep dive in our both warehouses, Tampa and Fort Myers. And then we are using 2% CAGR growth. So if we just grow both locations 2% every single year, with a five-year plan that we have and redesigning the warehouse, and we've been doing it already. Year one, we already redesigned Tampa. We're redesigning Fort Myers as we speak. We extended the life of our two buildings up to 15 years now. So the next 4 years, you're going to still see a lot of remodeling, per se, in those warehouses, a lot more racking being built. We're going to use it. You know, we're going up now, so we're going to, you know, everything. If you walk around that warehouse and you see there's space going up, we're going to capture it, you know, with racking. So we'll be capturing all that. And then, and we're also, though, still preparing for an expansion in Tampa. We're almost done with the space, or I'm sorry, with the land. And as soon as we have that mitigated and ready, we'll clear that property and we'll be ready to go if our growth accelerates, if we acquire another distributor, if we acquire any substantial business from a supplier partner like Wine or Spirits or NA's. So we're definitely ready to expand if need be.
But for the moment, it seems like we're probably just in a holding pattern.
Correct.
We figured out a smarter way to put it inside the box we have, so the box doesn't have to get bigger just yet.
Correct. We didn't want to, this is not the field of dreams. Let's just build this big warehouse and it will come. This was, let's maximize our current facilities and then expand when we're ready.
Well, and at the end of the day, that means we get to delay those costs and expenses, which means we can invest in other parts of the business. We can, you know, disrupt less. Obviously, we know that while essential, those types of things are super disruptive on our employees and our day-to-day operations. So being able to push that off is strategically to our advantage for as long as we can.
Absolutely is. Absolutely is.
All right. Well, like I said, I'll keep an eye out to see, at the very least, maybe we can get a bigger parking lot for Treasure Coast or something.
Well, for sure. I mean, we're still working on Tampa and Fort Myers breaking out two new roads. You know, so we definitely are trying to ease the traffic congestion in Tampa, breaking out a road on the north side of the property. Working on that. Same with Fort Myers, breaking out a road on the north side of the property to High Cotton. And then they'll be able, trucks be able to come and enter on Ortiz. So that, we haven't abandoned those projects. They're still going. So yeah, we're going to keep looking at any type of improvements. We're going to keep looking at automation opportunities. And that's the good news. If we are ready to expand now, there was really no new automation out there to help us be more efficient in our warehouses. So kicking the can down the road, per se, 5, 10, even more, will enable us to see new up-and-coming automation. And, you know, who's, I mean, it's like throwaway computers, right? You buy a brand new computer and it's gone in 3 years. So if we purchase some new automation now, 15 years, we'd be looking at new automation again. So that's another blessing in disguise.
Excellent. We had a really good year in safety in 2023.
Had an incredible year of safety.
Let's talk about that for a second.
The entire company was in the blue.
The whole company below the industry averages.
That's right.
Is a huge win. I think that might be the first time we've done that.
I believe it is. It may not be the first time, you know, for a particular facility.
No, I think every facility's been blue before, but this, I think, is the first time that all of them in 1 year since we instituted that marker system.
Correct. You know, so that was a phenomenal accomplishment, and we could not accomplish that whatsoever without our team, you know, taking safety seriously. So that was a phenomenal job.
We also had, I believe it was either December or January, no incidents.
I believe
in a couple of facilities.
December or January. There was no incidents whatsoever in Treasure Coast.
That's huge. A time of year where typically we've always seen
absolutely
a few, at least minor ones.
When our busy season gets here, that's usually when the injuries, you know, that's why we always try to teach our people, it's busy time, but slow down, think about what you're doing. So having no incidents is unheard of.
Yeah, no, it's
incredible,
huge
work.
Huge compliment to the teams. You guys are paying attention and keeping yourselves safe, which is so important.
Sure is.
So thank you to all of you for making that happen. That was a big, big, exciting piece of news to share going into this year. looking ahead, 2024, what are the big themes? What are the big call outs? Maybe it's product related. Maybe it's business related. Maybe it's just strategically as we're out there working the markets and doing what we do. What should we be thinking about? What are your big rocks, your big themes for 2024 that you want to make sure that people are paying attention to?
Well, I mean, without a doubt, we're going to keep the pressure on our ABI competitors and make sure that they don't gain an inch on their recovery from Bud Light. They are going to rally hard to try to return to growth and steal back the share that they lost, and we're not going to give them an inch. So we're going to put together programs and have relentless execution on that. So we're going to be all over it. And then, you know, probably, I mean, there's so many I can go. What's our big rocks? So I got about 20 of them. But, you know, and our core business is so important. You know, our top 10 suppliers are, you know, 95% of our business. But we're definitely going to lean into Beyond Beer this year and our snack business. Beer is declining. We're just, you know, better be lucky and good, as JT would always say. But Florida has such strong population growth, so we're just growing with the population as well, and we're actually, you know, gaining share at the same time, so that's a blessing. Where other states are not seeing that growth, and that's just because population may be leaving that state because just beer share is declining overall. So why we're going into Total Beverage Plus is because we know at some point in time, Florida will stop growing, you know, and, you know, take a pause, and then I've been in Florida now, I think 35 years, maybe 40 now. You have growth, then it slows. You have growth, then it slows. At some point in time, like with all this insurance, you know, it's ludicrous. You know, 30, 40, 50%. Next thing you know, everyone's leaving Florida. So we have to be prepared with a balanced portfolio. We're going to lean into Total Beverage. We're already going to these customers of ours already. So now I'm looking at J.J. Taylor being a disruptor. We're not just going to be J.J. Taylor, we sell beer. You know, we're going to be J.J. Taylor, Total Beverage, and more, and disrupt the not only the spirits houses, wine houses. I want to be a disruptor to the McLean's and the Cheney Brothers of the world. So while, if they're not providing superb service, I'm going to a particular C-store once a month. You know, well, okay, J.J. Taylor's coming every single week, and here I have salty snacks, and I have something else for you. So definitely going to work on being a disruptor in 2024.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to let you go. I know we got to get out there and start hanging out with all these folks. Who should we be thanking this week? I know we've got a lot of good brewery and brand partners here.
I mean, Molson Coors. I mean, we change them up every year. We try to pick our partners that are launching new brand innovation or any particular brands that might be on fire. So I know we have Molson Coors here. I believe they'll be sampling like their new Blue Moon NA. Some of their NA portfolio. I believe we have Gallo. We just partnered with now a Gallo distributor. So like Gallo will be out there as we launched our Pink Whitney malt-based product. So that'll be out there. Dots will be out there. I know we have Boston Beer here because we have Sun Cruiser, which is a new RTD that we're launching that's going to compete against Neutral and Surfside. So they'll be out there. And then there's a couple of, I know we have a few longer tail, you know, dots, obviously, I think I said that'll be out there. So, yeah, so we have about 8 suppliers out there, and we couldn't do it without them, too, man, because, you know, it's a full-blown partnership.
Absolutely. And a big thanks to all of them for being here and helping out and making it fun for everybody. I know this has turned into quite the event, and we all love that we can do it this way and getting everybody back together. And doing the road show. I know it's an exhausting week. I'm thankful I don't have to go this year because I've been on my share of them, and they are definitely they're a trip.
Yep, they're nonstop. You know, but let's be real. They're not. I mean, when I put this concept together five years, maybe a little longer. No, time flies. But whenever I put it together, believe me, they're not coming here to listen to what I'm saying and send business update. They're going to go out there and enjoy the innovation, enjoy our giveaways, and socialize and just be together because, you know, we just have such an amazing team. I'm just blessed that we can bring everybody together so they can have some fun and we can just enjoy a successful year.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a great week for the weather for it, and certainly going to be a great lineup. A lot of fun stuff happening at these meetings. So thank you for taking some time out. Hope you guys had a great time at them and are looking forward to a fantastic 2024 with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me as always, Jeff.
All right. Thanks for all of you listening, and we will catch you next time here on the Brew University Virtual Roundtable.